1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory and will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Good morning. It is ironic that the leaders are away this weekend, or most of them. It wasn't in the original plan. I asked to speak on this subject, and I'll explain why in a moment. The date had to be changed, so it ended up with me preaching on this subject while the leaders are away at conference. But they will get my notes, they will be encouraged to listen online, and I will check up with them whether they've heard it. As I look back on my life, and I'm a real senior by now, as I look back on my life, I'm amazed that the Lord has put me in leadership positions many, many times. And I'm still surprised by that. For those of you who don't know me, those of visitors especially, I was a primary school teacher. That was my first career. I was a primary school teacher for 17 years. And 10 of those years, I was a headmaster. And I've had the privilege of being in leadership roles of many kinds in churches pretty well all my adult life. And when I left teaching, I became a full-time elder in a Baptist church in Shropshire. And I spent the next 22 years in pastoral leadership in three different churches. And then the last 5 years before we retired, Angie and I had the privilege of visiting lots of churches as I had a traveling ministry. And much of our ministry was to care for and pastor church leaders. So that's my background, and that's why I feel quite strongly about the importance of leadership. But I want you to know that I made lots of mistakes. And there are things that I did as a headmaster and as a church leader that I'm not very proud of. But I also can say that I'm very grateful for the many leaders I worked with, including a particular headmaster who was a tremendous help to me in my early days as a primary school teacher. Having said that, we're now going to look at God's Word and particularly concentrate on this one passage to see what God has to say about church leaders and the relationship between Christians and those leaders. And some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's all very well, but I'm not a church leader, so I can switch off. This is not for me this morning. Well, I want you to listen carefully, because I believe that the principles in God's Word for church leadership are applicable to all of us, whatever our situation, whether we're leading in a family, whether we are a worker in a shop or a factory. There are principles here for Christians in terms of our relationship to leaders or how to be a leader. So first of all, I want us to look at the first verse we read from 1 Peter 5 and see what is the basis for Peter's appeal to leaders. Did you notice it says, to the elders among you I appeal. So Peter is writing about something that he feels is really important. And the first basis for his appeal is, I'm a fellow elder. I'm a fellow leader. He could have pulled rank, couldn't he, and said, well, I'm an apostle. I'm one of the 12. You just listen carefully because I'm going to tell you what leadership's all about. But he didn't do that. He appealed on the basis of, I've led a local church and I know how tough it is. I'm a fellow leader. So please listen to what I want to say. And then he says, I'm a witness of Christ's sufferings. What Peter is saying here is really important. He's saying, I know about leadership because I lived with Christ for 3 years. Christ is the ultimate leader, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Peter says, but I saw his sufferings. I saw him arrested. I saw him put on trial. I saw him whipped. I saw him die on a cross. And I saw the way he responded. So because of that, I've got a message for you this morning about leadership. This is probably the most important thing in this passage. If you really want to know what leadership is all about, look at Jesus. Look at how he lived his life on earth. Look at how he dealt with people. Look at how he dealt with his enemies. Look at the way he laid down his life in service. That's leadership. But Peter didn't finish there. He said, I witness Christ's sufferings, and I'm one who will share in the glory to be revealed. This message has a hope for the future. The first message in this series was hope in suffering. And Peter repeats that here. There is a great future ahead for all believers in Jesus. Eternity with Jesus, the King of Kings. So those are the two reasons he gives for appealing to the leaders. But now I want to say something important as an introductory remark. The New Testament churches always had a team of elders, of leaders. There is no place in the Christian church for one man or one woman leadership. It's unbiblical, it's dangerous, it leads to burnout, it leads to all sorts of other problems. I remember in Bridgnorth when Bernard, the young pastor who arrived in the church, began to teach the church about shared leadership. And probably in the middle of 1974, after he'd been in the church less than a year, an eldership team was formed. There was Bernard, who was full-time, the minister, employed by the church. There was a chap called Jim, who was a shepherd on a local farm, which is quite appropriate, as you'll see in a minute, and me. And we formed the first eldership team. And I remember going to a Baptist minister's event soon after that, and Bernard invited Jim and I to go with him because we were sharing the leadership. And the reaction of some of those Baptist ministers was amazing. What's going on at Bridgnorth? That's not the Baptist way of doing things. You have a Baptist minister, a pastor, and then you have a group of deacons who do all the admin stuff. That's the way we've always done it. And Bernard being Bernard, in a very blunt Lancastrian way, I won't try and do his accent, said, well, have you read your Bible lately? And the New Testament church knows nothing at all about one man or one woman leadership. It is unbiblical. Praise God, lots and lots of Anglican churches, for example, over the years, and lots of Baptist churches, have seen the need for a team of pastoral leaders. So the vicar is not on his own, or the minister's not on his own. Why? Because team spells together, everyone achieves more. And that doesn't just mean you have a successful church. It means this, that there is accountability within the team. There is real fellowship. real prayer, real support. One man leader can lead to burnout. Three or four or five or six team leaders can share the load, and that's biblical. I'm so thankful that in the church in Millbourne Port, where we were in the 1990s, we had a team of elders. I was the full-time guy, but there were three others, four others, when we expanded the team, who supported what we were all doing together. We were in it together. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. So, with that in mind, what do the leaders do? What is the role of the leaders in the local church? Well, first of all, it's interesting that Peter and Paul, when he writes about this subject in the New Testament, use three words interchangeably: elders, shepherds, overseers. And that's what Peter does here. The word elder is a translation of a Greek word, presbyteroi. Ron's walked in and he could explain the Greek pronunciation afterwards if I get it wrong, which is where we get presbyter from. And the Presbyterian Church has a team of elders or presbyters. Pastors is a translation of a Greek word which basically just means shepherd. And overseer is the word episkopoi, which is translated bishop. So in Bridge North Baptist Church in 1974, when the leadership team was appointed, we had a team of three elders who were also three pastors who were also three bishops. That's a bit radical, isn't it? But that's what the New Testament teaches. We'll see now what those words mean. Oh, by the way, it's interesting that church leaders in the New Testament are not called priests. Did you know that? All Christians are called priests in 1 Peter chapter 2, and again in Revelation chapter 1, and again in Revelation chapter 5. All of you who love Jesus, you are priests. But it's not a word used in the New Testament for the leadership. So, let's think for a moment about what these words mean. Elders mean seniors who have leadership gifts. That doesn't mean old age pensioners. Timothy was a young man and joined Paul's apostolic team. And he was then given the task of going to churches to appoint elders. And you remember Paul said, don't let people look down on you, Timothy, because you're young. So seniors means maturing. Christians who are growing in the faith and who have shown evidence that they are growing into a mature believer in Jesus. Seniors who have leadership gifts. Shepherds, pastors. That's a very easy word to understand. A shepherd cares and feeds the flock. And that's the role of the pastor. Not to look after the money and do all the admin primarily, but to watch over the flock. And that explains what the word overseer means. It says in chapter 5 and verse 2, serving as overseers. It's a servant role. That's probably the next most important word to remember from this morning. Leadership is all about servanthood. Servants who watch over the church, who have discernment, who look and see what God is doing, but also see what the devil is doing. That's why we included verses 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That happens in churches. And if you look up in Acts 20, in your own time, Paul saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus, he says, watch over the flock because wolves in sheep clothing will come to damage the church. I remember in Bridge North, there was an occasion when we heard that a new chap was moving to the area called Daniel, and we'd been told he was very experienced minister of the gospel, a preacher. He'd been in leadership, and we thought, oh, this will be really good. He'll be an asset to the church. And then we discovered that he'd gathered a little group of Christians around him. He didn't go to any of the churches at all. He just gathered a little group, and we thought, That doesn't sound so good. He'd had no relationship with the other churches in the town. And then one Sunday, just as the service was about to begin, I was on the platform, sat at the piano, waiting for the first worship song to be announced. And I saw this man come in. We had a big congregation, and I saw him walk into the church, and I had a really physical reaction. I can only describe it like that. I just knew this was this man, Daniel. And I felt sick. And after the service, I spoke to Bernard and Jim. I think by then we probably had other elders. And I said, that man's dangerous. And Bernard looked surprised, because I wasn't the sort of guy who normally said that sort of thing. And we discovered that that was right. And the time came very quickly after that when Bernard had to stand up one Sunday morning and warn the whole congregation to have nothing to do with this man. We discovered that he'd been thrown out of Bible college for all sorts of immorality. He was a very difficult man. And he caused havoc in many people's lives in Bridgnorth. Overseers. Overseers of the flock. That's the role of leaders. Let's move on. How should leaders minister? How should we function? Notice what it says in verse 2 again. Serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. He says three things here. Leaders must minister in the right spirit. Not because you must, not because it's a duty, but because you are willing. Now, I have to tell you that there were times when I was ministering out of duty. And it becomes really hard work when it's like that. Pray for our leaders that they will do their work, their ministry for the Lord, willingly. There must be a right motive, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. See, the word serve comes in again. Now, you might think, surely people in full-time leadership, they don't go after money. Oh, yes, they do. I've seen ministries absolutely fall apart because the leader or leaders were just keen on what they could get out of it. It's a disgrace when that happens, isn't it? But it does happen. And it must be done in the right manner, not lording it over the flock, but examples to the flock. I think Peter was remembering something that he'd heard Jesus say. Just listen to this. This was when the disciples had a big row. Who's the most important? Pushing and shoving for status and power. And Jesus said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Peter is quoting the words of Jesus. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not lording it over the flock. One of the things I love about Forefront Church, and I've noticed this since we arrived here 8.5 years ago, that the leaders of this church do not lord it over the flock. They're not arrogant, they're not bossy, they're not pushy. They're gentle. They're gracious. That's really, really important. You see, it is possible for church leaders to become arrogant and proud. When we were in Bridgnorth, when we first joined the church, there were 35 in the congregation. 7 years later, there were 200. And that's why, one reason why the Lord called me out of teaching to work alongside Bernard full time, because the church had just grown so much. But you know, during that period of growth, whenever we went to Shropshire district meetings, it was ever so easy for us to get big-headed, because we were the growing church in Shropshire. Most of the other churches were really struggling, and we were thinking, well, we've got it made. The Lord hates that proud approach. We'll come back to that in a moment. I just wanted to say something again to underline this business of plurality. When we were at Milbourne Port, a village the other side of Sherborne, I was working full-time for the church, and we had three other men who were elders with me, and a new couple joined the church, started worshipping in the church. They'd been coming to us about 4 or 5 weeks, and the husband was American, the wife was English. After one particular Sunday morning service, the husband came to me, and he was quite agitated. He said, "Tom, I've been in this church 4 or 5 weeks now, and I want to know, who is the pastor around here?" I said, "Well, we have a team of four elders. That's Mike, Pete, John, and me. And I'm employed full-time, but we're all elders, so we're all also pastors. So there are four pastors." He said, "Don't be ridiculous. We need a pastor." He was really uptight about it. And I said, "Well, read the New Testament. That's the way it is. Elders are pastors. Pastors are elders." And he was furious with me. Stormed off in a huff. And it wasn't long before he left the church. I don't know if that was just the reason. I think he found other things not quite to his liking. But there is that attitude that wants to put one person on a pedestal with a title. I was interested that Martin began this morning, did you notice, by talking about titles? We like status and titles, don't we? There's nobody on our leadership team in Forefront who wants the title pastor. They all share the ministry together. Some people find that difficult. I think it's great because it's what the New Testament teaches. We must move on. This picture sums up what servant leadership looks like. The servant leader is one who is prepared to do the tough things, to go ahead into difficult situations, but then turn round and help up everybody else. That's servant leadership. Another way of looking at it is this picture. You see, leadership is all about passing on the baton to other people, training, equipping, raising up others. When we lived in Crete St. Michael in the late 60s, the thriving church in Taunton was the Octagon Chapel. A big brethren assembly, big congregation, lots of young people, a big Sunday school, a place where God was at work. 2 or 3 years ago, that closed. It's now an auction house. Do you know why? Well, one key reason why is that the elders clung on to leadership and didn't do anything to raise up other leaders. And when they finally closed, I think it was two elders left, one in his 80s, one in his early 90s. And the church had died. Leadership is about training other leaders to pass on the baton to them. And praise God, Forefront has been doing that very effectively for several years. Peter now changes tack. And he says in verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Who is the chief shepherd? Jesus. He is the Lord of the church. Who is in charge of this church? Not the leaders. It's Jesus who's the king. He is the chief shepherd. He is the leader that we follow. And all believers will face Jesus and give an account one day of how we've lived for him. Did you know that? We won't lose our salvation, but we will have to give an account. But there is a special responsibility on church leaders to give an account of how they've cared for the flock. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Finally, how do we all relate to the leaders? Well, verse 5, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." And I believe that applies to all of us. we have to recognize that leaders do have authority. It's not the kind of authority that became popular in the church in the 70s and 80s. We called it heavy shepherding. Leaders who said, you mustn't marry that person, you've got to marry that person. Leaders who said, this is how much you need to give to the church. Leaders who said, you must behave in this particular way and dress in this particular way if you belong to our church. That's nonsense. That's not biblical leadership. But leaders do have authority. They're set apart by God to lead the church, and we need to have a submissive heart to them. But did you notice it then says, all of you, including leaders, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humbleness is really important. Like many, many millions of others, I watched the semi-final of the World Cup rugby yesterday. And in the preamble beforehand, they had a group of retired rugby players giving their assessment of how the game might work. And they started talking about Richie McCaw, the New Zealand captain. And Johnny Wilkinson, the famous British rugby player, said this: the thing about Richie McCaw is that he's humble. He's an ordinary man. And when he says the right things after a match in the press conference, he's not just saying it. You know that's what he always says. He's real. He's humble. That was an amazing little snippet on television yesterday afternoon. I thought, that's worth quoting in my sermon. Richie McCaw is a great big hulking rugby player. I wouldn't like to meet him in the street or be knocked over by him. But everybody said he's an ordinary bloke from a little town, country town in New Zealand, and he's never lost his humility. Isn't that a great thing to say about the captain of probably the best rugby team ever? Humility. God hates the proud. And we all need to learn this, to be humble and submissive. And finally, verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I know from bitter experience that sometimes when I was in leadership roles, it was tough. You had to make difficult decisions. You upset people. It was hard. I remember a day when I'd had a really, really difficult time talking to the father of one of my pupils. And by the time he left, having spent 20 minutes swearing at me and telling me what a useless so-and-so I was, I'd had enough. And do you know what I did? I picked up the phone and rang my friend Bernard and told him all about it. And over the phone, he prayed for me. Leadership is like that sometimes. It's tough. And this verse says, cast all your anxiety on Jesus, because he cares for you. He's the chief shepherd. And so my final word on this amazing passage of Scripture is this: give thanks for our leaders here in Forefront. Pray for them. Love them. Submit to them. Pray for them. Care for them. And also sometimes correct them. Contribute to their walk with Jesus. Not in an abrasive, aggressive way, but in a gracious, humble way. I'm so glad for the people who, over my many years in leadership, both in teaching and in churches, I'm so grateful for those people who had the guts to come to me and tell me the things I needed to hear. Bill Bowen, my first deputy in the school in Bridgenorth, came to me one day at break time and said, Tom, you got that wrong when you yelled at a child in my class this morning. I'm so glad that he did that. We need to be like that with one another, don't we? We need to correct one another, help one another. Most important of all, pray for one another. Well, that's God's word to us this morning. I hope you found it helpful and practical and relevant. And whatever your position in life is, whether you're a leader in your family, or you run a Sunday school class, or a life group, or you help with the music ministry, or whether you do the PA, or the projection, or you serve refreshments in the kitchen after the service, or whether you have a job in an office or a factory, in all our relationships, these principles, servanthood, humility, gentleness, care, honesty, really, really matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to apply what we've heard to our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here to guide us and strengthen us. We bless you, Lord. Amen.